That was a good...
Kevin's Uncle Jack Frost was here, he says. So, Tom said he couldn't make it down this morning, but he's going to watch online. So I want you to look at in your Bibles with me to Matthew 19 before we go to the book of Revelation. So if you want to look at... hopefully I got enough handouts. I started making a few less, and now we got everybody here. Did everybody get one?
One left.
Oh, there's one left. Okay. Thank you. Matthew 19. And Jaime, I texted you this morning. I don't know if you got it or not.
Oh, I didn't see it.
But Kevin could use like a walking cane. He's I didn't know if your mom had an extra one, but
probably.
Anyway, hopefully Kevin won't need that for long. But so I thought we'd do a little review this morning. I know at least Richard and Carla are fairly new, and we're almost exactly halfway through the book of Revelation, and I've never taught it before, so bear with me. And I feel like I said many times, I'm not sure what this means, or is this angel representative of Christ, or is it another mighty angel, or there's just maybe a lot of unknown, but it feels like we're kind of living in the end days, doesn't it? I mean, we see a lot about Israel on the news, and Brother TJ sent me and Pat a video this week that tied in just a lot of things about President Trump and his plan to build that arch. I really hadn't heard a lot about that, kind of a victor's arch, and so I looked that up a little bit this morning. So just a lot of things in the news that are relevant to the book of Revelation, and but our study's been called Revealing Jesus, and that was kind of my point. I try to make a devotional point that you know, when Christ came the first time, the Jews missed their Messiah. They thought he was going to be this reigning king and save them from Rome, and they looked at Old Testament prophecies, you know, the descendant of David, the son of David on the throne, and this king, but he came as a servant. And so I kind of want to help us all just not miss sight of, we need to think like Jesus. We want to, you know, see Jesus for who he is. And so we're talking about revealing. He's coming again, right? And this time he is coming as king. And so it is a confusing time. We're going to see today that one of the devil's main modes of operation is deception. He wants all of us to be deceived. He wants us to think, you know, sin is good, it's fun, it's what you need to do. There's many ways that we can be deceived, and we'll talk about a few of them. But Revelation 12 started out about talking about the woman clothed with the sun, and she had these 12 stars on her head. And so here in Matthew 19 is where I wanted you to see this thing about these 12 stars, and we believe them to be the woman to be Israel, and these 12 stars to be her the apostles. Look at Matthew 19, and if somebody can read verse 28 for us, that's where I want to start at.
I got you.
You got it, Kevin?
And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, where the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right, so Peter's saying, you know, Christ, we have forsaken all. This is Peter, the apostle, and he says, you know, what are we going to get for following you? And Jesus tells his twelve apostles that you which have followed me, he says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you 12 are going to sit on these 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so these, I want you to think about this word.
Regeneration,
and this is your first blank. It means again, like the re is like again, like if you redo something, you're doing it again. I want you to think about this. I don't know, that's not Genesis, is it?
No. G-E-N-E-S-I-S.
Okay. So it's like, again, Genesis. So this regeneration, that I had you put the word Genesis in your blank there. And that word only appears twice in the Bible. And once it talks about the Holy Spirit regenerating. When we get saved, we get regenerated. So essentially inside of each of us, we're regenerated with the Spirit of God. And so it's like, again, Genesis. And so this is a prophecy in Matthew 19 about the millennium. And so so this Genesis happens. I made you a little timeline here, the millennium. That's when the 12 tribes, these 12 apostles, are going to rule and reign over these 12 tribes. And so that's relevant to our Revelation study. So look back at Revelation 12 now. And we're going to pick up. I try not to have you turn all over your Bibles, but we'll... I think it's good to kind of review. And on the TV screen this morning, I made it as big as I could. This is kind of the outline of the book of Revelation. And we know that the apostle is John, the apostle John. So he's one of those 12 apostles that are going to sit on those 12 thrones. And we believe he was writing from the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled there for being a Christian, I believe. I don't know the circumstances around that. And it was a little bit before 100 A.D. So this is when the Bible was finished written. So if you think about it, and those of you that have been through discipleship, like Tracy, you might remember this, but the book of Job is said to be the oldest book of the Bible. And it was written 1700 to 1800 years before Christ. And John writes Revelation about 100 years after Christ. So, you know, the Bible's close to 2,000 years in writing and about 40 different authors, but John was the revelator. He was the last, wrote the last book of our Bible. And so these 22 chapters, 404 verses, and it's pretty cool that it just happens to be 12,000 words, like exactly. That's a pretty wild, I mean, not 12,001 or 11,900 and some, it was exactly 12,000 words in our English Bible. Yeah, so yeah, it's...
12 is 144.
Yeah, 12 times 1,000 would be 12,000. That's how many words. So, but I wanted you to see just kind of this overview. So these, in chapter 1 and verse 9 is where John is at the Isle of Patmos, and he's told to write the things which he has seen, the things which are, and the things which are hereafter. And so I tried to draw you just a little bit of a... This helped me to understand the book of Revelation. I hope it helps you. But so if Jesus was born around the year zero, and there's not really a year zero, but if this is the birth of Christ, and then about 33 years later, he was on the cross. He died for our sins. He lived these 33 and a half years or so. And then John was there at the cross. Remember, Jesus gave his mother to John. This is the same John. And so around the year 90 or so, he was exiled to Patmos.
60 years.
And that was Revelation 1:9. And so, but it says he was caught up of the Spirit on the Lord's day. And we believe that this is the start of the, you know, we look at Sunday as the Lord's day, and that's not a bad way to look at it, but in a doctrinal sense, a lot of the Old Testament prophets would say, the day of the Lord is coming. It's the Lord's day. It's a dreadful day. It's a day of terrible, you know, the woman in travail and all these things. So what we believe was he's caught up in the Spirit. And John is like here, he's on the Lord's day, and he's told to write the things that has been, the things that are, and the things which shall be. And so this helps me. I hope it helps you. But the things that he has seen are representative of the church age. This is the church age, you know, all the way from the time of Christ to the time of today, the church age. And it's chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then the part that we're studying right now, the things which are. So these are the present things that John is seeing from the perspective of the Lord's day. And that's this 7 years of tribulation. And so we're in chapter 12. So this is about chapters 4 through 19, the tribulation, the second coming. And then this millennium that we looked at in Matthew 19, where these 12 tribes or 12 apostles are going to sit on these 12 thrones and they're going to judge. We believe that's representative of the millennium. So anyway, I hope that helps a little bit. And this thing about in chapter 4:1, John sees that there's a door open in heaven and John is caught up there. So we call that the rapture. So I don't know if you can. I don't have the. And then in Revelation 19, there's a door open in heaven, and Jesus comes from heaven with armies, and he comes down, and that's the Battle of Armageddon. That's his second coming. And so that they kind of make bookends to what we call the tribulation period. And so I know you hear, maybe you hear a lot of things, hopefully this clarifies a little bit. Any thoughts or questions before we look at this here in Revelation 12? But
I just happen to multiply 404 times 22, and it's 88,888. So it's the number of beginnings.
I do that sometimes. Kevin, you and I think a lot. And you can do a lot with numbers, but that's cool.
And five.
Okay, well, let's look at Revelation 12. Hey, is this Scarlett with us? All right, got the grandbaby. Hi. And does she have a brother? Little baby brother? That's what I thought. Okay. I thought they had two of them. Let's see, I think I did. Yep, it's recording. Thank you, though, for asking. So let's look at Revelation 12. And we notice in verse 3 and 4, today we're looking at verses 7 through 12, but I'm trying to do a little bit of a review, because in verse 3 and 4 we saw this seven-headed dragon. We said the dragon was the devil. And look down at verse 10. Somebody read 10 for Revelation 12, verse 10. I want you to see something. 12:10.
I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Accuse them before our God today, our God day and night."
Now, it gave us a definition there. I used to think the word Satan means accuser, but it's actually the word devil means accuser. And I put on your handout there that the word Satan means adversary. So I think one of them is more the Old Testament verbiage for devil, and the New Testament maybe is more Satan. But it's one and the same, and it's this dragon. And that's pretty insightful, isn't it, that he's the accuser of the brethren. Like, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, and the devil is accusing Kevin Frost. He's accusing Trudy Martin, right? He's accusing us before the throne day and night. That's pretty wild, isn't it, to think about. What are you thinking, TJ?
I'm thinking that, like when you equate it to technology nowadays, like the digital ID is your, like, digital fingerprint. then AI is going to be the accuser, because all of your everything that you've done digitally will be for your account, digital ID, so it'll be like the digital accuser of all men.
They're trying to get us to buy those 100 terabytes or gigabytes or whatever, because our mail's all full for $1.99 a month, so I think that's how they're going to do it. They're going to make us pay for it.
Pay some water, would you? I hope when we get to chapter 13, I may play a couple videos about the digital ID, because I know Great Britain's trying to implement that. It's mandatory to work in the UK to have a digital ID, and there's protests against it, so there's a lot of things. What are you thinking, Richard?
It's in the works here because I sat on a meeting about it.
Oh, really?
Utah's been pushing for it.
You have a government job, don't you? So Richard's in the loop there. So when you are, are you a G-man? Wow. Well, we need to be like my dad and just get a flip phone and go old school.
Landline.
Get a landline.
get a couple cups of string.
Go snail mail.
That's a good working out of that, TJ, about the accuser. One thing I heard this week that may not be wrong, if you look at verse 5 and 6, just a way of rehearsal, it talks about in verse 5 this man-child that's going to rule with the nations with the rod of iron. And where does it say that he's caught up?
Right after that.
And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And I put on there, historically, after Christ died and was buried and rose again, he was on the earth for 40 days before he ascended. And so it says there that he was caught up, that this man-child was caught up into heaven. So it could be historically a reference to that, or it could be a reference historically to the rapture, because we are the body of Christ. And it uses that exact same Greek word and English word to be caught up. So I had you put the word rapture in your next blank. I guess I've only heard this taught one time, and so I guess I hesitately to say it, but I kind of looked it up, and sure enough, caught up, it's the same English and Greek word as we get from 1 Thessalonians 4, where we get the word rapture from. So, kind of interesting. And so I put a quote there from Chuck Smith. He said, if the woman is the church, then we're in trouble because she's pregnant. And the church is supposed to be the virgin, the bride of Christ. And so we believe the woman to be none other than Israel. And so now we're getting into new material here in verse 7. Would somebody like to read verse 7 for us? Jason, you got it?
Yeah, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels.
Yeah. So this heaven is probably the second heaven, like where the moon and the stars are. And so Michael is fighting with Michael and his angels are fighting with the dragon and his angels. And and I bet all of us have thought this, that Jesus and the devil are kind of counterparts, but really Jesus is God. And so really the counterpart of the devil is none other than Michael. So I had you put Michael in your blank.
There's some places that actually teach that Jesus is Michael, and that's weird.
Yeah, I do think there's some kind of false religions that teach that. So this is... hey, Pat. You brought Dave and Tiffany, right? Good to see you guys. Yeah, I don't know if you want to grab a couple pairs of chairs together up here by Jason or not, maybe. Oh, yeah, you can sit back there. Pat, we'll put you by Jason. There's only one handout left there, but... This one's stapled wrong, but I have one more. I mean, I put the holes in it wrong. So we're studying the book of Revelation, guys, and we're in Revelation 12. And so we're, this is a good time to drop in. In verse 9, we're in Revelation chapter 12, and it says in verse 9, well, actually, somebody read 8 and 9. Jaime, do you have those? Revelation 12, 8 and 9.
And prevail not neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He has cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Thank you. So Michael and his angels are fighting with the devil and his angels. And in verse 8 it says that prevailed not. And that means that the devil and his angels did not prevail against Michael. So Michael and his angels won. And the devil and his angels are cast into the earth. And so this is probably a really... dark time on planet Earth. We believe this happens in the tribulation period, and I think it connects with, you know, the bottomless pit being opened, and so the demonic spirits that are bound in Earth are released, and these angels are kicked out of heaven, and so this is the darkness, the plagues, the earthquakes, the hail. A lot of this happens here in this last half of the tribulation period. But what I want you to see here, and this is kind of a devotional point, right in the middle of verse 9, it says, which deceiveth the whole world.
Deception.
So that, yeah, that's what I had you put in your next blank, is just the word deception. And I don't know if I've ever told any one of you this, but I know I've told some of our Life Issues students, especially if they're wanting my help, I will tell them, you know, the worst thing you could do to me is lie to me. I said the two things I hate is being lied to, or if you're lazy. I don't like people being lazy. And I don't, probably everyone in here has been lied to. Don't you hate that? To be deceived? And, but that is the devil's mode of operation. I mean, that's why sin looks so inviting, right? It's deceiving. And, so those are things we have to war against. And we do have to deny our flesh. We do need to pick up our cross. And, you know, there's a lot of things, even in the news, just about like flat Earth and the moon landing, and there's a lot of conspiracy things. And I'm thinking, I was in grade school when they brought a TV in and I seen the moon landing. Yeah. So all my life I believed in the moon landing, and now there's question about that, and just hearing that makes me mad. It's like, I watched it on TV. I was this little kid. It was a black and white TV. I remember the teacher wheeling it in there. Did it happen? And now I don't know. And so, and I don't want to get into that, but think about what it is to be deceived. And this says the devil deceives the whole world, right? So he's going to think that this future world leader is Christ, and it's the Antichrist. It's he's going to say peace and safety, and there's not really peace and safety, and there's actually going to be wars and rumors of wars, right? And so I don't know if you can think of a time that you've been deceived, but I remember I worked with an inmate, and we wrote him letters. We put money on his books. He called us. I helped him get a job. I helped him get a home. He gets out, and the second day he's out, he moves in this lady and her kids, and we're supposed to do discipleship, and he deceived all of us, and so it made me look bad because the guy that got him a job is like Steve. I thought this was a good guy, you know, and now he's, you know, stealing or lazy and, shacked up with this lady. It's like, oh man, you know, it's a punch in the gut, right? When you know, darn it, there went several months of time and energy into that guy. And next thing you know, he's back in jail, you know. So we've all been taken advantage of. I know a lady from work who kind of got some online bullying. And she was actually a Native American Indian. Very shameful. She went out and killed herself. And yeah, I worked with her. I knew her. I've been to her house. I worked with her husband. And so yeah, so it's just like she got taken advantage of, or you know, she got scammed or whatever. And so anyway, that is his mode of operation. And he deceives the whole world there, it says in verse 9. And then verse 10, if somebody wants to read verse 10.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God.
Yeah. Just a little bit stuffy in here. So we talked about this, but he makes this fourfold thing here. Now has come salvation, and there's strength connected with that. There's the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And it's because the accuser of the brethren is cast down. So Michael and his angels get this victory. And anyway, this is a powerful proclamation. And it says in verse 11 how they overcome the world. So somebody read verse 11 if they would.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they left not their lives unto the death.
Yeah, so this is salvation that they're able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And it says they love not their life even unto death. And so in the tribulation period, we'll see in chapter 13 this mark of the beast. And so if you don't have this mark of the beast, you're not able to buy and sell. And if you remember in chapter 11, that there's this great drought, like a 3.5 year drought. It says it doesn't rain in the days of their prophecy. And so because of the drought, there's like government rationing of food. And so that's how they have to endure unto the end and not take the mark of the beast. And so that's how they overcome, is the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then in verse 12 is pretty insightful too, if somebody wants to read verse 12.
Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short
time. Yeah, so this, the devil is so angry. He just lost this war in outer space, and now he's on earth, and he knows he only has a short time. So this is this last 3.5 years of the tribulation. He only has so much time, and so he is kind of going for broke, and he's bringing all the wrath he can. And I gave you a verse at the bottom of your front page there from Matthew. This is Jesus' word. He says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And so he knows that's where he's destined for. And so that's a good verse to kind of know about as you're sharing the gospel, because God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That hell's prepared for the devil and his angels. He doesn't want anybody to go there. He's not willing that any should perish.
And a lot of people, that's what they say. I don't believe in loving God. We create hell or send anybody to hell, and you just show them that. Send anybody. They choose.
Yes.
Follow the devil. They choose to follow.
I got to tell Joel that, and that clicked with Joel. He's like, that's good. God doesn't really send them. People go there for rejecting Christ and their own. So on the back of your page there, I gave you some information about the Jews, because in verse 13, if somebody read verse 13 for us, and then let's talk a little bit about this.
When the dragon saw that he was cast pity on earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child.
Yeah, so if we believe the woman is Israel, it says that he is persecuted. You know, he was not able. He thought he had won the victory when he killed Christ, but then Christ rose again, and so the devil was not able to kill the man child. So now he's going after the mom, right? So he's persecuting, and I gave some information just down through the ages, the people who have persecuted the Jewish people, and it's really horrendous that, you know, they're still even a nation. And so we look at this 70 AD as when Titus murdered 1 million Jews. And so that would be right in here, this 70 AD. Titus of Rome, he conquers Jerusalem, and he carries the spoil back to Rome. And so he is so that's where Rome actually persecuted the Jewish people. And remember, we showed you the Conqueror's Arch that's in Rome, and it had a depiction of the.
Is it like the St. Louis Arch?
No, I don't think you were here when I showed this. So let me.
Is he trying to build this in Texas or Israel?
Second here.
Washington D.C.
So Donald Trump's trying to build an arch for the 250th anniversary of America in Washington, D.C.
I thought it was for World War I, that's why they made them.
But this is the Victor's Arch that was... Huh. It's in Rome, Italy today. And I don't know if everybody can see this menorah. So this is an actual picture.
That's the one they created for Titus, right?
This is Titus's, arch.
And that looks like there's a showroom there. Deifies him.
This is a farther away picture of it that Jim was able to get. I didn't have these open earlier, but there you can see the arch from a distance, and there's one of these in Paris, France, I believe. A famous one in Paris, France. And so Donald Trump is attempting to build something like this across a bridge from the Lincoln Memorial, I believe. But anyway, the reason I put this up here was just so that we could see that this depicts Titus of Rome going back to Rome after he killed these 1 million Jews. He's taken the menorah with him. And so that was just something from history that ties in with our lesson. But if you go down through this list here, I don't even know where I got this, but around 135 AD, a guy named Vespasian murdered 135,000 Jews. In 312, the Romans murdered 50,000 Jews. 438, Thaddeus murdered 500,000 Jews. 1020, Cainum of England drove out the Jews. 1290, King Edward rid England of the Jews. 1306, French farmers used pitchforks to drive out Jews. 1348, Jews driven out of Rhineland, Germany. 1350, Jews driven out of Prague, Czechoslovakia. 1492, that was Columbus, wasn't it? King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella sent to death at sea 800,000 Jews. I think they would put them on boats and put them in the water and burn them. It was horrendous. 1495, they were driven out of Lithuania. 1497, driven out of Portugal. In 1900, they were ordered out of Russia and they fled to England and USA. 1933, Hitler murdered 6 million Jews. Stalin murdered around 6 million Jews. And then, of course, 1948, May 14th, the Jews became a nation again under Harry Truman. And so there's a little bit of history there. And, of course, but what we're reading in Revelation 12 is happening in the tribulation period. So this is where the Antichrist sits in the temple. And that's why we talk about a third temple being built. Because the Antichrist needs to sit in it, and he professes that he's God, because he sits on the mercy seat, like the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat that's on top, and he professes that he is God. And so all the Jews either get killed or they flee to Petra, the place of the rock, in a modern day Jordan. And so that's what it says in verse 14. So somebody read verse 14 for us.
To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Yeah, and if we look back at verse 6, at the end of verse 6, it said that there's a place prepared by God that they should feed her 1,203 score days. So 1,260 days, it equals this time times and one half time. So that's just 3.5 years, right? So what?
So tell them that time is 1 year.
Yeah, this, yeah.
It's 2 years.
Yeah. Well,
so one and two and a half.
One, two, and one half. Yeah, thank you, Pat. So yeah, you just add those together and you get 3.5, right? So so that's exactly what TJ read there. And at the end of verse 14, she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And I was reading something from Genesis about the flood, and there's a reference there where you can. So this is based on a 30-day month. And it's a 360-day year. And so there's some things in Genesis. So we call that a prophetical year. And so that's what this is based on, and that's what TJ read there. And so then look what happens in verse 15 and 16. Somebody read those for us, if they would. We're going to try to finish this chapter.
And the serpent cast out his mouth, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed the flood the dragon cast out of his mouth.
Yeah, so the serpent is casting this flood of water out of his mouth. And the earth actually helps the woman and swallows up this flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth. And I think the next blank I gave you, this wilderness is a place. I had you put the word place in there. Just so God prepared this place, and we believe that place to be Petra. And we've talked about that. And I seen in Pastor Brian's note, it was a civilization that the Rome conquered in the second century, and it was rediscovered in 1812. And that's what's in the movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, this place of Petra. And some of you haven't been here. I'll put up one picture about Petra, and you'll easily recognize it. This is the most famous picture from Petra. And one of the things I've heard about Petra, this place of the rock, is that it could house up to 100,000 people. And we believe that God's going to supernaturally feed the Jewish remnant that goes there, and feed them with manna again, like in the Old Testament. And He will probably bring forth water out of the rock to water them. And so they're going to be defended, from the enemies. And, so this is one of the places I'm not sure what this means, but I don't know if this is a literal water, a flood, that the devil's trying to drown them in Petra. Some of the things I was reading said it might be the Antichrist armies that are flooding them. And there's a reference in the Old Testament where people that opposed Moses, the earth opened up and swallowed his enemies. And so it could be a flood of people that God just opens up the earth, and you can do that with an earthquake, right? The tectonic plates. And so my teaching point there is that this woman is the Jews who flee to Jerusalem, and they make Jerusalem desolate, and they are called his remnant. So we talk about the remnant sometimes. And this is the remnant of the Jews that they're fleeing to Petra and maybe the Antichrist armies. And so I put that there, that the serpent casts water out of his mouth, or this flood. And some speculate that the flood represents the armies of the Antichrist. But it does specifically say water, so I can see that as well. And in verse 16, it says that the earth helped the woman. And so the earth opens up and swallows the flood. So an earthquake could easily open up and swallow water, just like it did Korah and those who opposed Moses. And I gave you number 16 if you want to go back and read that. There's just a few verses there that show that, you know, Moses is the man of God, and he protects God's people and God's man, and the earth just swallows up the enemy. So that's a good reference. And then verse 17, we'll read 17. We'll, Tracy, go ahead, read the last verse.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so obviously the dragon is wroth. He's just got a short time. So there he uses the word remnant. Did everybody see that? The remnant of her seed. So if the woman is Israel, and the remnant is the descendants of Israel. And so I gave you a little bit of information about the word remnant. I gave you some other places in the Bible. And the word remnant means a fragment or scrap, such as an unused piece of cloth or carpet, the remains or is left over, usually of small quantity or number. And just kind of my teaching point that this would be good to leave us with, that, you know, God always has a remnant or a faithful few believers in every dispensation. And so hopefully that is you and I, right? Oh my.
The red dragon. That's the yellow sun.
Yeah. So they are. Anyway, I just wanted to just think about that as we leave here today. Are you part of the faithful few? Maybe there's just a remnant of the church. When I first got saved, a guy named Peter Ruckman had a little book out called Millions Disappear. It's a book about the rapture, and I've still got that. Millions disappear. Well, it may just be thousands or hundreds disappear, right? I mean, It seems like, in some ways, I know the Charlie Kirk thing kind of brought revival in some way. I think a lot of people got saved there, even in Arizona, at his the kind of the funeral service, basically, that they had for him. But anyway, those type of things are fewer and farther between, and so hopefully everyone in here is truly saved. It's a good time to get right and be part of the faithful few, right? Be part of the remnant of the church. But this verse is talking about the remnant of Israel and how God preserves them in Petra. So I know Jim prayed earlier, and I'll pray now. And church doesn't start for 20 minutes, so if you want to hang around here, if anybody wants to start bringing any snacks or anything, they can do that. I know Belinda always did, and we actually have a small refrigerator here. If anybody wants to keep something in the refrigerator, it's just been sitting there running for several months. I don't know if there's anything else to announce, but thank you for being here. Say hi to my dad when you get a minute. He's here. And meet Richard and Carla. They're good people. And hopefully we'll see you next week. We'll pick up chapter 13. So that all these are exciting places, aren't they, in Revelation? It's like deep, like wow. It's like, you know, places you can meet. Huh?
Where do you guys, I've heard it explained a lot here, but no one's ever pointed me, where do you guys think that Petra comes in? Like, why is it Petra? I was looking today, and Jesus, he would always go to the wilderness.
Yeah.
The wilderness was east of the Kidron Valley. And
yeah.
So I just wondered why, when they say wilderness here, it would be to the west instead.
Yeah, let me look at one thing here.
I'm sorry, the other way. So going through Petra is the home of the Edomites, which was Herod. They did all tie together.
Okay, cool. I'm going to put one picture up here. I think you'll like TJ.
I actually had a conversation about a remnant last night. Somebody was talking about Dolly Parton and the Coat of Many Colors, and they didn't know that came out from the
Bible. Oh, yeah.
Her mom, she was really poor when she was young and made her a coat of many colors out of a bunch of remnants of different cloth, you know. And I sat there and got to share this whole story of Joseph and the Coat of Many
Colors. This is what I was going to bring up, TJ. Just the book of Job, and he was from the land of Uz, and so they think that's around the place of Petra. So Job, in a way, pictures the Jew in the tribulation, and so there's where some of his friends. So let me just have a word of prayer. We can. So yeah, I'm not even dogmatic on that. That's just a likely place, TJ. So thank you for asking that.
Thank you.